chapter 22. It's found in the New Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Chronicles, way in the Old Testament. Old Testament, right after 1st, 2nd Kings. 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. You going to junior church, Sally? Are you going to junior church? Second Chronicles chapter 22. Out of respect for God's word, let's stand. Did you find it yet, Chuck?
I'm not anywhere close.
All right. Starting in verse number 2, it says, 42 years old was Ahijah when he began to reign. And he reigned for 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Ahijah, anyway, the daughter of Omri. And he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray now that we might get something out of this message. I know it's pretty much for the mothers, but I just pray that we can all get a little bit out of it and we can use it for your honor and your glory. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, many times we don't realize how important we are to what happens to our families. You know, I praise God for a godly mother and father that I had through my life. I can remember times when we went to church without my dad due to his physical condition. But we were always where we needed to be on Sunday morning. You know, a mother can make or break a family's relationship with God. You know, a mother must recognize God's calling, the pursuit of the calling, and give godly advice to that calling. Now, I believe that all mothers have a specific job that God has called them to do. And we need to realize, as mothers, that calling. God has given, believe it or not, a woman a sixth sense as far as their knowing right from wrong. You know, men, believe it or not, have to learn it by trial and error, don't we? You know, men have to take and learn things through trial and error, where women so many times will just have that sixth sense that says, well, you know what, I know exactly what needs to be done, and we're going to do it. Right, Nancy? You know, follow up or not, you know, we're going to do it that way, and that's the way it's going to be done, amen? And but men, believe it or not, we have taken learn through trial and error. In Genesis 25, 23, it says, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, God told Rebekah that she was going to have a set of twins, and the older was going to rule the younger. Now, we need to understand a few things here. Number one is that the older never was ruled by the younger. In the days of Abraham and the days of Isaac and Jacob, it was always the older son who had the birthright, had the right of the inheritance, always received a double portion, so to speak. And Jacob was the one who was going to be born last. So all of the blessings should have went to Esau. But yet we're going to see how this worked out a little bit differently. Now Jacob, believe it or not, he was a mama's boy. How many of you have ever had a mama's boy? Oh, which one? Oh, that one? Oh, that's a mama. Okay. That's good. Well, you know what? I was a mama's boy. I was the baby of the family, and I was my mother's favorite. I mean, I could do nothing wrong. In fact, if my older brothers would even look at me cross-eyed and I started crying, guess who else got a spanking? They did. It didn't matter if they did anything or not. They still got a spanking for it. Amen? Now, here we see that Jacob was a mama's boy. He cooked, he cleaned, he sewed, he did the laundry. He was just mama's apple of the eye. He did not like going camping. He did not like hunting. He did not like anything that the He-Man boys did. Amen? You know, he was one of these that sat behind his Game Boy all day long and played, or he texted all day long. You know, he didn't want to get out and ride his bicycle. He didn't want to get out and play with everybody else. He was a mama's boy. Now, here we see on the other side of it was Esau, and he was the apple of his dad's eye. He was the He-Man boy. Now, he was the boy that all men wanted to have. Amen? He was the guy that dad says, okay, I want a deer. Okay, Dad, I'm on my way. And out he goes. Pretty soon here he comes dragging a deer back. And he just loved the outdoors. He loved hunting. He loved fishing. He loved everything outdoors. He was a He-Man daddy's boy. Now, there was a complete difference between the two of them. One was a mama's boy and the other one was a daddy's boy. Now, the two boys were in exact opposite. Now, Jacob was very crafty, and as we know through the story, he took away his brother's birthright. You know how the story went. Here comes Esau in. Esau had been out hunting, fishing, whatever, but he didn't get anything, and he was hungry. And he comes walking in, and he goes, oh, feed me. I am famished. I'm going to die. So what did Jacob do? Jacob says, well, you know what? I just made a really good pot of soup. It is the best soup you ever ate in your entire life. And that even made him more hungry. He says, well, what do I have to do to have a bowl? Well, just give me your birthright. Well, now, I mean, you know, using common sense, here Esau says, well, you know what? If I die, that birthright isn't going to do me any good, and I'm really hungry. In fact, my belly button is shaking hands with my backbone right now, and I am starving to death. It ain't going to do me any good. Okay, fine, I'll give you my birthright. You give me a bowl of lentil soup, and I'll give you my birthright. And that's exactly what happened. So here we see that Jacob was not the most upright person there ever was. And I feel that Jacob many times gets a bad rap because of his craftiness. And I'm not saying the way he did things was right. However, I am saying that a lot of things that he did was not his fault. And we're going to see that in just a minute. But I feel that we should always do right and be upright in all of our dealings, whether they're with family or friends or acquaintances. You know, we must be above reproach before God in everything that we do. You know, Jacob did some things which were not above board, so to speak, but I feel that he had a little bit of help in doing them. In Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 to 8, it says this, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son, and he said, here am I. Behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out into the field and take me some venison and make me savory meat such as that I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah, who heard when Esau spake to, Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now, Jacob, believe it or not, gets a bad rap for listening to his mother. Now, we all know how women are, you know, sometimes, you know, they, you know, lead our children astray. No, not really. But Jacob did just as his mother had told him to do. Now, here we see that Rebekah said to Jacob, I want you to go out and I want you to kill a goat. And I want you to bring it into me. And I will make the stew that your dad loves so that he won't know the difference that it's venison or goat. Now, I don't know really what goat tastes like. I've never really eaten that much of it. But I know what venison tastes like, and I do like venison. But so he did just what his mom said. He went out and killed the goat. He skinned it. He brought it back in, got it all ready to be made into the stew. Rebekah cooked the stew. Jacob disguised himself. Rebekah says, okay, now we're going to tie on the fur off of this goat, and we're going to put it on your arms and around your neck, and you're going to be a little goatling. He's going to be a goatling. You know what I mean? And so here he did that, and he went in, and he was disguised before his dad, and he brought in the savory stew for his dad. He deceived his dad, and he received the blessing of his father. But if you go to chapter 42 and you look at verse 27, you also see that Rebekah is the one who sends him away. After Esau found out that he had beat him out of not only his birthright, but also the blessing, Esau says, I'm going to kill you, boy. I am going to take care of you. That way I get everything back again. Rebekah knew that that was going to happen, and she sent him away. Now, we need to realize that Jacob obeyed his mom. Jacob obeyed everything that his mom did. You know, he didn't know that God had told her before that he was born that the younger was going to serve, or the older was going to serve the younger. He did not have any idea that that had happened. And he didn't know that God was going to use him in a mighty way in the rest of his life. All he knew was that he was going to obey his mama. He wanted to make sure that he pleased his mom. You know, I remember when I was younger, that's all I wanted to do was please mom. Because I knew if I pleased mom, I pleased dad. After all, it was mom, the one who was my intercessor with dad. Amen? You know, there was a lot of times I did things wrong. And I always went to mom. Because I knew that mom wouldn't punish me near as bad as what dad would. You know what I mean? And so Jacob knew that he needed to take and obey his mother. Now, Rebekah knew that Jacob was to have the blessing. She remembered what God had told her about the older serving the younger. And she knew that it was in God's plan for Jacob's life. She knew she had to do something about getting the blessing for Jacob. She knew that it was important for him to have both the birthright and the blessing. Now, the birthright was that they would receive a double honor or double the amount of inheritance that the other one would receive that didn't have the birthright. So it was usually the oldest son that would receive twice the inheritance. So if Chuck and his older brother, his dad died and left a $10 million inheritance, then Chuck would get less than what his brother got. His brother would get twice as much as he did. And this is the way it was. Whoever had the birthright received more than who didn't. The blessing was that they would carry on the family name. You know, it's the same way with the women who bring their kids to church on Sunday morning. Even though you may be alone when you come, you know, you realize the importance of having your children in church. You know that this is where they should be on Sunday. You know that it is by God's power and not the boob tube, so to speak, that your children are going to turn out to be godly, godly people. I remember years ago, there was a man by the name of Dr. Jack Hiles, and he was telling a story of his life. And he was telling about his father. His father was an alcoholic. His dad would beat his mother, and his dad didn't want to have anything really to do with any of the kids at all. And his mom made him get on that bus every Sunday morning to go to Sunday school. Every Sunday morning, that bus would drive by, and he'd get on that bus, and they would go to Sunday school, him and his mother. And just the two of them, every Sunday, he would go to Sunday school. Well, as we know, Dr. Hiles, he was the founder of Hiles Anderson College. He is also the pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond until he passed away. And he had the largest Sunday school in the world. He had built that church up to where they had the largest Sunday school in the world. They had over 380 buses every Sunday morning that would bus kids in to Sunday school. And so here we see that it was through his mother's love that he was in church every Sunday. A very good friend of mine, Pastor Bill Munson, told the story of how he grew up and how that his mother and his grandmother were such an influence in his life. His dad was an alcoholic. His dad was a woman beater. And yet his mom stayed there, and every Sunday morning when that bus came, his mom made sure that he was on that bus going to Sunday school. Brother Munson became a pastor. He also sang with the Blackwater Quartet. He was just a great singer. And it was through his ministry that I was called into being a pastor. But he said that every Sunday morning, his mom would stand by the corner and wait for the bus to come and put him on the bus to go to Sunday school. And he'd come home at night, and he was all excited. But you know, if it were not for godly mothers, these men would maybe have never gotten saved. And the countless millions of people that they led to the Lord through their ministries may not have gotten saved. You know, I praise God for the women in this church who recognize the importance of having your children in church. I praise the Lord for the dads in this church that make sure that your kids are in church on Sunday morning. You know, it's important for your children to be taught the things of the Lord. It's very important. You know, we operate a Christian school, and a lot of times, you know, people say, I don't know why you have a Christian school, but I'll tell you what. Everything that the kids are taught are biblically based. They learn about God every day. And they know then that, you know what, it's okay to go to church. Now, I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what everybody else says. It's okay to go to church. And we need to take and make sure that we are in church when the church doors are open. The second thing is this, is you need to pursue your calling. Not only are you called to do something, but you need to pursue that calling. Rebecca knew what she was going to do was not right. She knew what she was about to do was not the correct thing to do. She knew that she was not to deceive her husband. She knew that she was not to take and lie to him, so to speak. She knew that she was not to take and dress up her younger son as her older son. She knew that. She knew she was abiding in a conspiracy. She knew that she could be killed for what she did. And women were killed back then because they deceived their husbands. You know, she could have been cast out from Isaac. But you know what? She didn't care. You know, she knew that God had promised Jacob to be the head. And she knew that if Esau was to get the blessing, that he would be the heir to everything that was there. And she had to act and act fast. She knew that God would take care of her. No matter what happened, she believed that God would take care of her. That she didn't have to worry about it because God was in perfect control. She had not disobeyed God. She was disobeying man. She raised Jacob in the way that she felt that God wanted him raised. She had given him the knowledge that he would need to find a wife and start a family of his own. You know, after all, he was the one who knew how to cook. He was the one who knew how to cook. Even if he married a woman that didn't know how to do that, he could still do it. Amen? He wasn't going to starve to death. You know, that's the neat part about knowing how to cook. Right, Serena? But you know, we need to realize that his mother had taught him how to care for a wife and a family. You know, women must be the same way. We know that it's important for us to have our children in church, but we also need to take and teach them the things they need to know when they get older. You know, we were talking about this the other day, about how many teenagers today have no idea how to use a needle and thread, how to sew on a button, how to make a dress, you know, how to crochet a quilt. You know, I saw a thing on Facebook the other day, and it says when you go out of control crocheting, don't do this. And here's this guy standing with a crocheted coat and pants. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that took some time. It looked terrible, but it took some time. But you know what we need to realize is we need to teach our young ladies, and not only young ladies, but young men, of what they need to do to be able to raise a family and how to live. You know, we need to realize that many times we don't have the right people to teach us anymore like we used to. I can remember when I was growing up, my grandma, she taught us boys, my brothers and I, a lot of things. You know, I lived with my grandma for 2 years. My mom and dad had moved to Montana, and things were really tough in Montana at the time, and he was looking for work, so they shipped me to grandma's house. And I lived in North Dakota with grandma for 2 years, and grandma taught me a lot of things that I still know how to do. She taught me how to do laundry. She drove in my head that you do not put colors with whites. Amen? I did that one time. And I had red shorts. And they were the prettiest red shorts you ever saw. But anyway, you know, what we need to realize is that we need to pursue the calling that God has given us. You know, we know God that will teach us many ways. You know, no matter what the obstacles are, though, we need to overcome those obstacles. You know, whatever comes up, we need to take and say, you know what, we're going to go to church on Sunday. It doesn't make any difference if we have family drop over. It doesn't make any difference if our friend drop over, or if we stay overnight at a friend's house. We need to get up and we need to get to church on Sunday morning. We need to take and get in God's house, and we need to learn what God has for us. You know, we can always come up with excuses why we can't be in God's house, can't we? All right, there's not one of us, including me, that can't come up with all kinds of excuses why I couldn't be here this morning. You know, this morning, I was tired last night. We've had a horrendous week. Last Sunday night, we were out late. Monday night, we were out late. Tuesday night, we were out late. Wednesday night, I was out late. Thursday night, I was out late. Friday, we went to Castle and Coasters all day. Yesterday, we went out and played golf. I got sunburned, and last night we had a a graduation party go to. I got home last night. I crawled in bed. I'm thinking to myself, oh, I can stay in bed a little bit later in the morning. Amen? After all, it's Sunday morning, nothing going on, and I can stay in bed a little bit later. 4:30. And then he starts barking. And here's little Max. He's standing there alongside me, patting me on my face and say, would you mind waking up? I have to go outside. And so he went over and woke up my wife. Anyway, I rolled over and went back to sleep for 10 minutes. Then he came in and woke me up again. But, you know, a lot of times we say, well, you know what? I'm too tired to go to church today. You know, we need to just get up and get going. You know, the air conditioning, you remember last year when the air conditioning didn't work? You remember how hot it was in here? You know, I could have very easily said, you know what? I'm not going. Man, I get up there and preach. I'm going to be sweating. There's no way. Or it might be too far to drive. You know, people, you know, might make fun of me because I go to church on Sunday morning. Well, that's too bad. You know, you're to be in your place with your family on the Lord's Day. You know, God's going to bless you for just being here. You know, I'll tell you what, there's nothing I like better than being in church. You know, Wednesday, now this last Wednesday, I was tired, man. I'll tell you what, if I could have stayed home, it would have been last Wednesday night. And, you know, I could have stayed home very easily and went to bed. But you know what? I got to church and I just got revitalized. You know, I felt so good when I left here Wednesday night. But, you know, God's going to bless us for our faithfulness. If we're where we need to be on Sunday, God's going to bless us for that. But you know, the third thing is this. Give godly advice to those you are called to raise. Rebecca gave Jacob good godly advice. She instructed him how to go about getting the blessing from his father. She told him of his brother's plan to kill him and that he needed to get out of there. And she also told him where to go to get a wife. Now that's good godly advice. After all, she did not send him to Egypt. She did not send him to a heathen land. She sent him back to her family because she knew her family was a good family, right? And so she sent him over to her family to get a wife. Now, she gave him good godly advice. You know, if you take any look at Jesus' first miracle, what was his first miracle? Who can tell me? Yeah, turning water into wine. That was Jesus' first miracle. They were at a wedding feast, and they were sitting there, and all of a sudden, there was no wine to give anybody. And Mary looked at Jesus and says, okay, turn it into wine. He goes, but my time is not yet, mother. And she looked at the guys that had water pots, and she said, do whatever he tells you to do. And I can just see Jesus looking at his mother and glaring at her. I told you my time is not yet. You know what I mean? I can see that. So what did he do? He says, okay. He says, go fill those water pots with water. So they did. He says, now, go and pour it out to the governor or the father of the bride. And they did. Now, I don't know about you, but if I would have been those servants and I filled those water pots with water and I took a ladle and I pulled it out and I poured it into the governor's glass and it was wine, I think that I might say, uh-oh, what's going on here? Who put something in those water pots that I didn't know about? Kool-Aid, right? But, you know, what we need to realize is that it was a mother who told a son what to do. You know, I'm sure Jesus would have known when his time was, but, you know, Jesus had told her that his hour wasn't there yet. But yet Mary's godly advice started Jesus on his 3-year journey. You know, my mom always gave me godly advice. You know, one piece of advice my mother always gave me was this, and it always was good. Make sure you carry a pair of clean shorts in the glove compartment. She says, you never know when you're going to have an accident. Now, I didn't know if she was talking about an auto accident or some other accident, but I always carried an extra pair of underwear in my glove box until I started dating. And the girls couldn't figure out why there was a pair of underwear in my glove box. And then I have to explain to them, my mom told me I was supposed to do it. And they just laughed. You know, but, you know, my mom always gave me really, really good advice. You know, my mom always told us boys that we needed to be in church if the church doors were open. She told us that we were to read God's word and hide his truths in our heart. She told us boys to marry good Christian women and to raise our families in the word of God. You know, my mom always made sure that we were in church on Sunday morning. You know, even if we were gone from home, we always went to church on Sunday morning. And my mom made sure that we were there. I can remember her many times saying to my dad, you know, today's Sunday. You know we need to be in church today. And dad would go, yeah, I know. Where's the closest one? We might have been up north or someplace, and we always found a church to go to on Sunday morning. But, you know, women are to not only to obey God, but they're also to obey their husband. The Bible says a woman is to obey their husband. In Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know, even though a husband may not be saved, he's still the head of the family. Parents are also to train their children up right. In Deuteronomy 6, 7, it says this. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, listen, we are to train and teach our children the correct way to live. That's a parent's responsibility. You know, with the school and everything, you know, it's not the school's responsibility to raise your children. Did you know that? It's your responsibility to raise your children. All our school is just a hand of the family. We are to instruct them in the doctrines of the Bible. It is the father's responsibility to teach the children the things of God. But if the father cannot do that, guess who needs to take it over? The mother. The mother needs to. Proverbs 22, 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you notice that verse, it does not say, fathers, train up a child in the way that he should go. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. That means it's mothers or fathers or both should train those children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. You know, as the advice you mothers and grandmothers give your children, believe it or not, is so very, very important. You know, there's no greater thrill in my life than to see children come to know the Lord. I can remember my oldest daughter, Dionne, the night that she got saved. She was about 10 years old. And I'll never forget, she came out of the bedroom. My wife led her to the Lord. You know, that's the responsibility of a mother, to have a godly life so you can lead your daughters to the Lord. She came out of the bedroom. She was all excited. She goes, Dad, I just got saved. I just asked Jesus in my heart. Wow. About 6 months later, all of a sudden, here comes Dionne, my youngest daughter, Denise. She says, Dad, I just got saved. I go, wow, is that cool? Listen, it was their mother that led them to the Lord. It was their mother that showed them from God's word that they needed to be saved and that they needed to take and turn their lives over to God. The advice of mothers and grandmothers that you give your children and grandchildren are so very, very important. You know, as we read in the scriptures this morning, and that's why I read that specific scripture, this king became king. His dad was a godly king. And yet when he came, who gave him his advice? His wicked mother. His mother gave him poor advice. And he became a very, very evil king. Listen, what we need to realize is this. Mothers can give good advice, or mothers can give bad advice, and we need to give good advice to our children. The advice that you give your children is going to last them a lifetime. You know, the contact that they have with church now is going to affect their lives down the road a long ways. You know, it's up to you to give good godly advice, or you can give poor advice. It depends on how you want your children to be raised. You know, a mother must recognize her calling of God for her family, just as Rebecca did. She must pursue that calling in what it takes to do God's will for their children. And she is to advise or to train her children in the way that they should go, in the way that God wants them to be brought up. You know, it's a responsibility of the dad to teach and to train. But if the dad doesn't do it, guess what? Mothers need to do it. Then it's mother's responsibility to train and to see their kids grow. You know, on this Mother's Day, we need to take and understand that we need to train and we need to teach. And we as mothers have a huge responsibility in helping our children grow to be what they need to be in the future. You know, on Mother's Day this year, I got to thinking about my mom, and you know, she'd been gone since 2001. Yeah. Maybe I was wishing she'd been gone that long. No. but she'd been gone since 2001. And, you know, I miss her a lot. I do. Because Mom used to sit third row back, and it's now 11 o'clock, and Mom would sit there, and if I went and preached till 5 after, she would go like this. And if I preached till 10 after, she would go like this and hold her arm up higher so that I could see that she was looking at her clock. One Sunday morning, I preached until 20 after 11. And that dear lady reached in her purse, pulled out her checkbook, and started paging through the calendar. As if to say, are we going to be here for eternity, or what is happening here? Shut up already! But she was such a dear, dear lady. I mean, she just a godly woman, and I just praise God that he gave her to me as a mother. And I miss her a lot, especially on Mother's Day, because after church we would take and we'd go out for dinner and we'd just have a good time together, just Mom and I and Carol and my stepdad. And it was just such a precious, precious time. And then when we found out that she had cancer, she only lasted about 6 months. And but it was such a precious time, and I just praise the Lord. I will see her again. So, but you know, we need to take and understand that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility not only to God to raise our children, in the way that they should go, but we also have a responsibility to them, that we raise them in the way God would have them to be raised. And if we do that, someday we're going to stand before God, and he's going, hey, you did a good job. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You raised your kids the way they were supposed to be raised. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited for that day when we'll stand before him and he'll say, well done. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us.